The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dreamin' JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Like 3 years. Four scarves, depending on the width. JP's like, this is our bedroom. It's not a fucking podcast room. Can you, like, it'll just be like three. It won't be 12. He's like, is it going to be exactly what it was downstairs and just upstairs? This, like, throw up of soccer merch on the wall? I'm like, no, just relax.
So your new studio is in your bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ooh, because that's how they say to keep the magic alive for the podcast studio.
Bring work to the bedroom.
Big turn on is
the marital bedroom.
Is the O'Connor and Walsh jerseys that are up there.
Oh,
and
yeah, he was
none too pleased. It's a great, it's a Jackson Bandits East Coast Hockey League. He was the captain wherever he played. And he's like upset that his jersey's up in a wall. I'm like, can you like just relax?
It's pretty cool.
I want it. He's got another one. He played for Knuckles Nyland when he played in Chesapeake in the AHL. So he's got a signed thing from Knuckles. He's got another one.
Chris Nyland? You mean
just behind me there? That's when JP played for Princeton, and they won the division playoffs. I think it was his rookie year when he was at Princeton. And he's like, really, he's very James Sharman like, actually. He's being a real curmudgeon about it all. I'm like, it's not just going to be my wall, like soccer merch and also like an homage to my career. I want it to be like a collective thing, like a nod to kind of both of us. And he's just not having it. So I'm putting it up there almost against his will.
Spite. As we know, spite plays well.
Plays well in a marriage.
Look at the scops.
Yeah, look at them.
Do you guys ever take those jerseys down when it's, you know, time?
Oh, little role play.
Just put
mine. Put in this
one. Get one of my teeth.
Well, I mean, those East Coast though teams. I mean, they're some of the best names in sport, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the minor hockey stories are brilliant. I bet the travel, the personalities. That should be a podcast. Like way better than an NHL podcast, quite honestly.
Yeah.
The shit that goes on behind the scenes in minor league hockey, like professional, I got good quality hockey, but just below the NHL. That's cool stuff. I would listen to that. JP, okay, minor hockey prime.
Oh.
I think that could fall under the umbrella. I know you're a big hockey fan, Wonger. Craig would just shit himself, but he's not here, so he can make a decision.
Yeah.
I'd listen to that.
Yeah, there's lots of stories. And JP keeps reminding me, he's like, tell Sharms, I really, really like pies. I'm like, I know, JP. He's like so desperate to get his hands on some Sharman's proper pies.
But I think there needs to be
cross provincial borders.
Yeah. And there needs to be a minor hockey prime for JP to be able to handle. It's almost therapeutic to handle his jersey being up and being seen. I know it's about his lack. He didn't make it to the top level and stay there. It's a constant reminder of his deficiencies, right?
Do you think that's what it is?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a little bit reductive, but okay. Overly simplistic.
You know what I'm like. I'm reductive.
I know. Yes.
You know, it's funny. I envision this. So JP doesn't like his stuff on the walls in his bedroom. Yeah. I get that, right? I can imagine Craig's bedroom is completely bare. There's nothing on the wall. It's all temporary. And then I bet Jimmy's fucking bedroom is just covered in paraphernalia from his career and memorabilia.
His bedspread is his face.
His bedspread is his face. Yes.
And his race car bed from his show at the weekend.
Did you see it?
I saw just the bit that Jimmy shared with us. I didn't get a chance to see it.
Those who don't know, Jimmy and his lovely girlfriend, Jess, were on... What's the show called?
Homewreckers.
What's it called? Homewreckers?
No.
Luxury something?
Yeah, basically they shop around for, I think, a cottage, right? Wasn't it?
Right.
It's like House Hunters and like an offshoot of it, right?
Yeah.
So it was on this weekend. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen clips. It's really amusing.
I don't have a subscription to HGTV. It's not on my...
No. It must be on YouTube, though, right? You got to think.
later, like in 4 years.
There's got to be a Ryan or Mikey Brennan bootleg copy of it up already on YouTube.
And was he introduced as former Toronto FC captain or former professional footballer or current podcaster, I wonder?
Oh, definitely not the latter.
No. Wait, part-time podcaster, let's be honest. Wonga, you have something you want to get to?
I do. I wanted to start off this week with a little bit of a trivia. We'll share the answers at the end. But I was lying in bed thinking, how else can we pull people in to stick around for the entire 30 to 45 minutes? Yeah. Did you want to do something with that, JC? No. Okay. You
just. I don't know that we can.
All right. Yeah. I don't know either. So I've got five questions that I'm going to lay out. No answering, no yelling out. We'll share the answers at the end. We'll let you guys guess, and we'll let our team, Footy Prime, guess at the close to the end of the show, just so we'll revisit it. Okay. First question. What was the year VAR was implemented in the Premier League? Number one. There's a good question, especially with video assistant referee playing such a big deal with Liverpool and Man City.
And this is the honor system, right? We're not going to be like Googling these.
I'm not going to anyway. No.
We can trust everyone here because Jimmy's not here.
What was...
See the reflection two. Of the website in Jimmy's glasses. Yeah, exactly. As he's reaching it.
Question two. First year for Super Bowl. Give me the year that it was year. Played.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, just have to do some math.
You do.
It was 60.
Who wrote, you guys stop talking. I'm going to go through these. Who was the author of The Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, the author.
Mm-hmm. Morgan which Canadian Freeman. Which Canadian artist saying Call Me Maybe?
Oh.
And final question.
Should probably know that.
There were two politicians involved in the U.S. hanging Chad in Florida. Who were those two politicians? Those are your
hanging
five
Chad.
Questions with six answers.
Hanging Chad.
The hanging Chad. This should have been right in your wheelhouse, man.
What's the hanging Chad?
Hanging Chad is they disqualified voting because you pop a hole in a voting card. Yeah. And they said a Chad is what gets popped out of the paper. Mm-hmm. And when it didn't fall out, they discounted votes. So the votes went a certain way because of the hanging Chad.
Oh, yeah. When was this?
2000.
Okay.
What were you doing in 2000 that you didn't remember?
To say, I don't know the answer to this question.
All right. Well, there you go. These are good questions then.
Okay. So
you're not supposed to know them all.
Visit them later on. Okay. Yeah. Good. Like that. Might be a good way to start most shows, actually. A little bit of trivia.
Why not?
And otherwise related.
I love trivia. Yeah. The people only thing I might be okay at. Yeah.
People yelling it out at home while they're up for walks or driving in the cars. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you guys enjoying the Olympics so far? Dubs, you're Olympian.
Yes. Yeah.
You get up for it, right? Don't you? You really get up for it, having been at the Olympics.
Yeah. And not having internet for about 36 hours was really upsetting.
Nor your tanning bed.
Oh, I'm looking quite pale this morning. I know.
Hey,
we're a sports household and an Olympics household. So it's always on. And like this morning, I was getting ready to take the twins over to school, and Campbell came up. And very diplomatically kind of weighed the patriotism versus going to school, saying he needed to see Canada, was very close to winning a medal in slope style for the women. And actually, we got our second medal, another bronze, after Val Maltel got it on the opening day. Campbell's like, can we go to school late? Because I really want to see Canada win another medal. I'm like, I love it, but no, we got to get to school.
Joe's been campaigning already for the hockey as well. Can you send me out early?
Have you looked at the schedule?
I think 10 in the morning, I think.
Okay.
The first game. The women have played a couple already, obviously. And
well, they played one, right? Yeah,
I love the Olympics. I do. And I always forget how much I love it until it happens. Once you get through the bloody opening ceremony, which is always so boring.
So bad.
It already was.
Is it fun to be in the opening ceremony, though, Debs?
I didn't get to be in the opening ceremonies because soccer, as we all know with the drone scandal of Paris, right? Soccer starts before the opening ceremonies. So we were already in like Nanjing or Chengdu or one of the other locations for the FIFA because you're under the umbrella of FIFA, but then you're also part of the Canadian delegation. It's a very kind of unique thing when you're a footballer at the Olympics. So we weren't in Beijing. So we had like our own little opening ceremony that the employees at the hotel kind of like gathered and they made like a little tunnel for us and cheered us on. And we dressed in our attire that was designated for the opening ceremonies. So you've got like specific looks and fits that are just for it. I mean, as everybody knows, right? The much criticized Lululemon outfits. I like them.
Kind of
I think they're really cool. Do you remember the really funky? Well, actually I've got it right here. The really funky pants that we had. It was HBC back then.
It was Hudson's Bay who won it. Yeah.
Classic picture. For our audio listening audience, this is a classic picture of Dubs in the Canada attire standing behind Yao Ming.
Yes.
But you see the jazzy pants, right?
Yes.
So I think I still have them somewhere. A lot of people dumped them and they traded them because that's something that you do as well.
Did you get to take part? Yeah. Did you get to take part in the closing ceremonies?
Well, yeah, that's where this picture's from.
Okay. That was closing.
Is the closing, but we missed the opening, which a lot of athletes do as well. Like if you compete the next day, then maybe you just don't go, right? Because it's the right thing to do because you're already focused on your competition and your event.
If you compete in an event before the opening ceremony, are you actually at the Olympics? Does it count?
Stop it.
But if you got hurt, Sharms, you got a point though. If you got hurt before the actual opening ceremonies even start, and then you're like laid up in the hotel.
No, it shouldn't count.
No.
Because they haven't started yet.
You're not
the Olympics haven't started. You're not Olympian. You do your ankle before the opening ceremonies. Then you're sorry. You can't get that tattoo on the bicep. No, not having that.
Or like if you don't play or like you're an alternate, are you not an Olympian?
No.
No, come on. Of course you are.
So how was it though?
You've still done the work to be there to help your team to qualify.
Yes, you're right. Mm. You're right. Charms and I are giving you the gears. You know that.
I'm easily wound up. Everyone knows.
You did play after the opening ceremonies though, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I played a half against Sweden. That's the assist. It's another one of my favorite pictures where I'm jumping up. Actually, Tank is in that picture too. Mm. Melissa Tancredi, newly inducted member of Canada Soccer's Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Melissa Tancredi.
With Julian
Bravo, Dr. Tancredi. Yeah. And so one of my favorite pictures from the Olympics is I've assisted on Tank's goal. I crossed it from the left channel with my right foot in swinger, and it was a diving header. Beautiful goal. All credit to Tank, but it was a good assist as well. And I ran and I jumped up into her arms, and then that was captured. And it's one of my favorite images from my entire career. But after the game, we had already qualified, which is probably part of the reason why I got 45 minutes. Evan, like, you know, in the scene in Billy Madison where he goes through all of the grades again to prove to his dad that he can run the company, and he makes particular friends with like the grade 3 kids, and he grabs the chubby kid's face and he's like, stay here.
So stay Evan, As long as you can.
Evan grabbed my face and he's like, you're an Olympian. I was like, okay, thanks. I already felt like an Olympian, but it was validating all the same.
This opening ceremonies, though, did he?
He did not.
People don't know this. The other view, the 180 from Dubs, is the Olympic rings over her bed. Yes. Marital bed.
Again, a reminder to JP that you didn't play at the Olympics, did you?
No, he was actually, because JP is the color analyst for TSN 690 for the Habs games, right? And he's been super busy. They've crammed these games in before the Olympic break. So finally get my husband back, right? But he has like his regular hit. And so like at the end of the hit, I didn't listen to it yet, but he told me like that he was getting the gears from the host saying that his claim to fame is the fact that his wife's an Olympian. And he's like, fucking right.
Yeah. You should be proud, even though it's just one half. Mm-hmm. And you should have just got two.
Fuck you, Sharps.
No, you're an Olympian. It's amazing. Anyone that gets that far is pretty special, I think. And I'm enjoying it. Didn't enjoy Lindsey Vonn's crash. That was pretty freaking scary. Oh, my God. I mean, as an athlete, Dubs, I'm sure you can understand why she pushed herself to get to the Olympics after doing her ACL just days before, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, it probably wasn't advisable, and who knows whether it was a factor in the crash. But I guess you get that far. And even though she has history and she's been there before, she's won a gold medal. I think it was Ray Ferraro wrote this on Twitter, a really good post. He was talking about the end of his career, how he did his knee, but he wanted to leave on his terms. So mm-hmm. he fought to get back. And I'm sure it's the same with her. She wanted to leave on her terms, probably not via a helicopter being flown to hospital. But can you understand why she pushed herself, and perhaps she was probably advised, just don't do it, Lindsay?
Of course, because exactly what Ray Ferraro, known as Chicken Parm, by the way, because that was his usual pregame meal. That's another JP O'Connor nugget. Yeah, his nickname's Chicken Parm, because he used to have it before every single match.
He's a freaking brilliant analyst, by the way. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he's terrific. Also married to Cammy Granato, legend herself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, like my... So what Ferraro said is absolutely true. You never want to have the terms dictated to you. You want to be kind of at the helm of your own destiny, at your kind of controlling everything, controlling the narrative. And she came back. She's 41 years old. She's had innumerable surgeries. She's had to have the mental fortitude to come back every single time. And she came back, and she not only made the U.S. team, the ski team, competed at World Cups, won on the World Cup circuit, but then qualified for the Olympics at Cortina, a ski course that she has won at tons of times before. So there's the confidence to do all that. So I think the people around her understand kind of the level that she's operating at is different from everybody else. But it's also the same as a lot of athletes, whether you're Ray Ferraro, Lindsey Vonn, or Amy Walsh. Like, late, I'm not putting myself in the same category as those guys, but that mentality around
Olympian
high performing athletes.
Caps as captain, 100 caps, he can.
the wide spectrum. Like the end of my career, the reason why I got to be an Olympian, like I competed at the 2007 World Cup. My knee blew up, had pain, instability. It affected my play. It affected my confidence. We talked about confidence last week. If anybody hasn't listened to that podcast, it's a great one to kind of get into the mind of an athlete and how if that wavers, then your whole game can go. And then once that's back on track, then you can kind of find yourself again. But I was doubting myself, but then I came back, and just to make the squad, and the position that I had to put myself in and the right mindset, like that was empowering in itself. So my goal was just to make that Olympic team. So getting those minutes against Sweden, it was really validating. And it meant that when I decided to call it a day, even though it was a number of caps later and it was under a different coach, and then it was slightly different, it's bundled together with gently being pushed into retirement because I was pregnant and intended to come back. That's its own thing. But at least I left where I felt like I'd given my best. So she doesn't get a chance to do that because it's a horrific crash, like 13 seconds into the race. And my daughter, Evie, is 11 and, plays sports, pays attention to what's going on with the PWHL, NHL, all kinds of things, soccer, whether it's Liverpool or NSL. And she was really affected by watching that crash. And I had told her like the backstory that she'd come back, that Lindsey Vonn's 41 years old. She, like 9 days prior, she'd done her ACL, but she was intending on coming back. Showed her the training videos because Lindsey also posted that, kind of saying, fuck the naysayers, like I can do this. And then not to prove it to anybody else, but to herself. And Evie was rattled. And I think it rattled a lot of people to say like she's highly confident and yet you're still vulnerable. But it doesn't matter. Like people pointing the finger now saying it was selfish of her to do that, that there was a 20-minute delay, it affected the other competitors. No, fuck that. You know, like she, again, wanted to go out on her own terms. And even though it was disastrous, she was still the person. She was kind of at the helm of her own destiny, of her own ship, and like the way that things were unfolding her of her own narrative. So you need that semblance, that sense of control, even if it's misguided. But she had everybody around her medically who were supporting her, mm-hmm. and she was in the right frame of mind. But it was just maybe a little bit too much. And like for to see her hit that gate in midair. And then a Brian Stemmel, who is a friend of the show and somebody in our run to the Olympics, we had the COC provided mentor. So Marnie McBean was somebody like a triple gold medalist in rowing for Canada. She was a really important mentor for our team in a lead up to Beijing. But Brian Stemmel also came in when we were at camps in California and based out there for a while and training and playing games. And he talked about the fact that the tension in your bindings need to be really high so they don't just pop off when you're doing turns. And she hadn't hit, because it was so early in the race, she hadn't hit those speeds where it will kind of disengage and the skis fall off. And that by all accounts, she's broken a bone in her lower leg.
Yeah.
It's hopefully surgery, she's right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all about controlling your own narrative and destiny. And so I felt awful for her, and I'm sure everybody did, but that was the right thing for her in that moment. And I don't think that can be judged from the outside.
And I think she's earned the right in her career to back herself at this point. You know, if this was a younger skier, okay, perhaps you can, you know, make the call for her. But this is a skier that knows herself, knows her body, and perhaps wasn't objectively eyeballing a gold medal. But just to get down there would have been, I mean, quite honestly, to get to the Olympics 9 days after your ACL is incredible. And quite honestly, we'll be talking about this probably a lot longer than had she just made it through and finished 16th.
Mm. Right? You're yeah. right.
It's going to be one of those moments.
It's a good story. It's a good story. Yeah, I have two comments. One, Brian Stemmel, last time we saw him, I was with him, he and Craig. We went for a golf, and Brian tore his rectum skiing, right? So there's number one. He showed us a x-ray of it. So that Did was quite really? Interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. I met him a couple times at sports.
Brilliant guy.
Really, such a solid guy.
And number two is about the ACL. You can tear it and it feels like your knee's strong. You could throw a brace on it, but you don't know until you put so much pressure on it. And I know this because I tore my ACL. And some days you're walking and then you're like, oh, I can play anything again. Throw the brace on. It costs $2,000 to get it fixed, like to make sure that that's the brace for you. But I can imagine the stress and the torque on the knee and that joint, and that all of a sudden you don't, the pain that goes into that, that whether it had a, whether that affected her turn or her crash, but I can tell you from experience, some days you think it's, you'll never feel pain again. And then the next day you are feeling that horrendous acute, like strain on your body. So not
did you do yours on the football field or
I did mine basketball playing basketball.
Oh.
Yeah. After my foot I was 25, so a year and a half after I finished playing football.
Right, right. Yeah, pretty rough though to watch that. I mean, obviously you heard the screams and that horrible.
You heard the screams. Horrible. I didn't watch the whole thing. Oh
yeah. Yeah, when the medics arrived. Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, aside from that, I've been enjoying the Olympics, and I look forward to a couple more weeks of enjoyment as well.
But it was a sports weekend, right? And there's so much to watch. It was one of those.
What else was there?
Off-time show?
I was watching the women's hockey, and then I was like, oh, there's golf on. And then there's like, there's so many different things.
There was soccer as well.
And well, yes. And I was going to lead there, yes.
Oh, sorry, I jumped in there.
No, that's all right. But go ahead.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Super Bowl, but who cares? It's kind of a boring game, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
I loved
halftime
it.
Show was good. I mean, listen, it's not my kind of music, but I could appreciate the show and that it riled, you know, who made it even more worthwhile. So I'm happy about that.
So that and was Canada good. Got a shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canada.
You know what? We're part of the Americas. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I loved it. And all the people are like, oh, I didn't understand a word. Shut up.
No bloody wonder. Unless you speak Spanish, you wouldn't.
No,
I'm sorry, Ricky Martin.
Americans do speak Spanish.
Right? Ricky Martin looks good.
Yes, he does.
Ricky Martin.
Oh, I didn't recognize him.
Oh, he's just,
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know which way he, like, you know, like he has things about, he's into women, but if he ever wanted to switch.
No, I think he's gay. I might have
to tell Mel.
I think he's gay.
I think Ricky Martin's pretty gay.
That's the joke.
Oh.
I didn't know.
That's why he stopped.
I didn't see him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Lady Gaga was there.
Yeah, no, that was a surprise, wasn't it? Well, it wasn't a surprise.
Gaga had a good show when she opened a couple years ago.
Pedro Pascal was there.
Yeah.
And
Jessica Alba.
Yeah, and Cardi B and others that I don't know.
They were part of the show?
So yeah.
I'm so out of the loop. I didn't recognize any of them.
Well, Mel recognized Pedro.
In, like, that looks like house. That actor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they were in the house.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to revisit.
What, when he fell down through the roof?
Well, yeah, and then he came back out, or like as he came in and he went through some people, then there's like the dancers in front of that house. But yeah, the same one where he like fell through the roof.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all there.
Okay, but Nicki Minaj wasn't there.
No.
No, she was at the other halftime show.
Oh. Right. Yes. With Kid Rock.
I'd like to point something out. So they say that nearly 5 million people tuned in to watch the alternative America show. Versus 200 million in, I guess, North America. So that's like comparing. So there was a Team Canada game, and then there was a kids, you know, championship game, and then trying to compare those two that they're somehow the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then just stop.
Yeah. If the kids game was watched, what was in a little arena full of racists.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Correct.
That Kid Rock.
Yeah.
The kid came.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's like Amy Walsh putting herself in the same category as Ray Ferraro and Lindsay Vonn. Same thing.
Listen, Dubs, you always talk yourself down. You shouldn't. Had you been born like now, you'd be playing professional football. Like making pretty good money. Who knows where?
She'd be very young, though, if she was born right now.
Well, yeah, you get the if you're born in 2005.
Yeah, your daughter has a pathway to professional sports.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Canada.
I know. Yeah. She could play in the P-Dub or she could play in the NSL. It's pretty remarkable.
Imagine what Charlie will have.
Yeah.
10 years after.
Well, there may not be a world, but not to get too bitter and dark. Let's get talking about some soccer, shall we? We've kind of touched on it in the last 27 minutes. We've talked a little bit about soccer. But I want to talk about Kyle Barron before anything else, who made his debut for Southampton. So happy for Kyle Barron to score that goal, coming off the bench. And that celebration, you could just feel it, couldn't you? Like that sense of relief, pounding his chest, like, yes, thank you. And, you know, he's got to do more than score one goal, obviously. But there's a lot of people dismissing Kyle Barron as far as the World Cup squad's concerned. Jesse Marsh loves this guy, Dubs.
Yep.
And loves what he brings to the team, to the room. Even average form from Kyle between now and the World Cup will be enough to get him back into contention for that World Cup squad. And who knows? Maybe a star in that first game. But, you know, making that move after barely playing at Feyenoord, coming off the bench for just a few minutes and scoring that goal, dream star for him.
First touch for his new club.
Was his first touch?
First touch.
Nice.
I think great, emphatic, almost like a diving header, even though it was in a scrum and in amongst a lot of people on that corner kick. Like, great for him, right? Like, that's exactly what you want. We've talked about the depth at the striker position for this men's national team, and a wily veteran like himself who's going to, I think, give Jesse Marsh some headaches about, you know, who he's taking, who's going to be valuable. It's a 26-player squad. Where do you make the decisions? Where do you draw the line? How many of these types of players do you need in your squad? Is it more of a junior Hoylett, you know, but kind of a utilitarian, versatile player, or somebody like Laren, who I think has had middling success paired with Jonathan David, who we know is cemented in that 11. But Jesse Marsh has so much confidence in Kyle Laren with how he can play. Form is definitely dipped. So if he can keep this form up, obviously he's getting minutes. And Tonda Eckert was just had nothing but praise for him with the way that he'd conducted himself in the week that he'd been at Southampton, like putting in extra work on the training ground, really endearing himself to his new teammates and certainly to his manager. So hopefully he keeps it up, because I think that's terrific for Canada if everybody's pushing everybody else, trying to get them up to new standards we haven't yet seen for our men's national team.
You mentioned Junior Hoylett there, also debuted and got an assist for Swindon Town. Now, I wrote about this last week and that move to Swindon Town. They're in League Two. Junior is 35 years old now. I do wonder whether the writing's on the wall with him regarding the World Cup squad, and he knows it. Because jumping down to League Two, that's quite... If it's from Scotland, I understand that, which is hardly an elite league, but still, you know, you're going to be in contention for a World Cup berth playing for a good club as he was in Scotland. But they dropped down to League Two with his former manager, Ian Holloway, who knows him really well from his QPR days. I get the impression that move might be more about one eye on the future, about, you know, getting some experience under his old manager, maybe life after football, because Jesse Marsh has a wealth of talent to choose from, playing in some pretty decent leagues. With respect to League Two in England, it's not the abyss, but it's a way off League Championship. It's way off Prem, obviously, way off Belgium Professional League, way off Serie A.
MLS,
maybe. Yeah. Let's get in that conversation. What's better? League Two in England.
Keep saying way off, Sharms.
Get after James Sherman in the comments.
Sharms went through 36 different leagues.
I know. I was deciding where to direct the question to eventually.
Right.
But maybe I'm wrong. I'm a big fan of Junior Hoylett, and he can still provide something for sure. But I do wonder whether he's had a conversation with Jesse Marsh about the World Cup squad.
Yeah. I was thinking about Kyle Larin and Ali Ahmed going over to Norwich and how great those starts were. But even more for Osmo's shawarmas. Literally, Southampton had, you know, they're like, anybody want a chicken shawarma? Because that commercial. So all of a sudden, this cheesy commercial that was released right around World Cup of 2022, right? That's when it was released, is now back.
Earlier than that, no?
Well, it was around there. It was... Okay.
But cult status certainly in Canada.
Yes, cult status and kind of funny, but really badly done. So it's exciting to me that they get a shout out, and that now all of a sudden the chicken shawarma is getting played over in England because of Kyle Larin, right?
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's good for him though. And back to what Sharms was saying with Hoylett, I think Jesse Marsh at this point, remember the discussion in the fall? I was like, we need to decide who the number one is. I think we've kind of forgotten to maybe hold Jesse Marsh to that, because there's no clear indication at this point, February 9th, who Canada's number one is. And, I think we've seen two moves. We've seen Crippo go to Orlando City, and we've seen Dane go to Miami. So very much how they perform early on is maybe going to dictate what happens with the men's national team. The March window certainly will weigh heavily, but I just think he's maybe pumping the brakes on making any decisions that are ultimately going to affect the periphery, the fringe of his 26-player roster. So Sharms, I don't know if Hoylett has thrown in the towel or if they've had that discussion yet, because I think even though it's League Two, and even if it's, you know, far down the pecking order of the world standing of football, you know, in terms of how it stacks up to these other leagues, if you're fit, if your form is good, if you're playing regularly, then you still have a shot. So, you know,
yeah, people
maligning the move of Eustachio to LAFC, oh my God, it's a short-term loan. We talked about that, I think, before we hit the record button. Like, I think it's up at the end of June, so during the World Cup. He just needs minutes. He needs to play regularly. So I don't think you can really look down your nose at any situation where you know you're guaranteed minutes.
No, and I agree with that. And I'm not suggesting that because he's playing at League Two, he should be forgotten about at all.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's gone to League Two suggests that other clubs higher up weren't in for him. Right. And if not, and we're talking about Canada now, who's a half decent international side. Are they going to have a League Two player? If there was an opportunity for him to jump to League One or the champion, I'm sure he would have done it. Right. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe those offers weren't out there. And like people, I said, Ian Holloway is his manager, right? So yeah. Ian Holloway, they have a relationship. If Junior Hoyle has ambitions to get into management or stay in the game post playing career,
yeah,
that to me makes a lot of sense why he'd go there. Okay, I'm going to drop down another league here where, you know, I might lose my opportunity for the World Cup, but I'm going to start being mentored by my own manager. That's just, and that's pure speculation. I don't know. Whereas Kyle wanted to stay in Europe. That was it. I mean, I'm sure he could have moved to the MLS had he chosen to, but he's not that old. He's 30 now. But he's determined to stay in Europe at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's why he made that move.
People thought I was a little nuts mentioning Kyle and who else was on the marketing paraphernalia and the marketing assets for Canada soccer, right, the other day. And Someone said, Wonger is absolutely right. I forget. I think it was Michael Hull who said it. But
you know exactly who said you were.
No, I think it's Michael, but I'm not sure. I didn't memorize this. But it's interesting to me that Kyle is still, once again, on front and center on Canada soccer poster for the March games, whether it's because, hey, he's old guard and still in the chat, Brampton, all of these other, you know, there's lots of reasons to highlight him and focus on him. But great timing, no? Going to Southampton, getting this first touch goal and being on the front of Canada soccer marketing. I'm just saying.
As we talked about last week, strikers and confidence, right? And just how his confidence went from 0 to 10 probably with that first touch. And listen, the Southampton faithful, the fans there, they were a bit suspicious of that transfer. Didn't know much about Kyle. They lose Armstrong to Wolves, who've been their top scorer all season. And who's this guy? And that, fans are fickle, right? They can be won over really easily. And a guy coming off the bench and scoring a goal, a winner for your team, that helps. So hopefully he can really build off that.
I wanted to ask you, what's that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, kind of back to the Hoylett discussion and then tying in Jonathan Osorio, because during the Super Bowl, Bad Bunny at the performing for the halftime show or at the halftime show, our Canadian men's national team handle on Twitter, in addition to TFC, were quite active and they were kind of doubling down on the likeness between Bad Bunny and Oso. Did you see that?
You mentioned that. I can see
it's great. It's great.
Yeah. So I thought that was quite clever. A little bit of playfulness, right? Doesn't always have to be so serious all the time.
That was the Canada men's national team's official Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, they had something, and TFC also has something on their on their handle. On their
Someone's got a Photoshop, big shoulders on
Ozo. Was one of them confirming the report that Ozo looks like Bad Bunny? Like, was it TFC saying, we can confirm
like this. Yeah.
TFC is hearing. TFC is hearing that Oso resembles Bad Bunny. But I think one of them, I can't remember which, one had Benito had Bad Bunny in a TFC kit. And then I think another one had like Oso doing something else. But I thought it was quite good.
He could wear a white suit. He could wear kind of a white.
Oh, yeah, he could.
For sure he could. He could pull it off.
100%. Yeah. But my question to you guys, that trio of kind of the old guard, the heady veterans, critical pieces of this men's national team for the last, say, decade, and are going to be really important for success at the World Cup, kind of off the pitch more so than on the pitch, but maybe will be used sparingly here and there. So Hoylett, Oso, Larin, do we think we get more than one of them on a 26-player roster?
Good question. I'm going to say yes. You're going to get two. Mm. I think it's Ozo and Larin. I mean, I thought Larin was on the outs, given his form at Feyenoord and not playing at all, but got an opportunity now, obviously. And if you can build off that, it's not as if there's a wealth of attacking options, let's be honest, outside Jonathan David. Promise looks great. Hasn't scored for a couple of weeks, but obviously great. Tanny isn't getting that many minutes at Villarreal, but he's getting minutes, and it's a top, top league and a top, top team. And then beyond
Jeppesen?
That, I mean,
we haven't spoken about Jeppesen in a long
time. He's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't scored in a while. But he's definitely in the contention, though. Theo Bear has been hurt. He was scoring. I thought he could be in there. But then I just think Ozo gets in there. I know Jesse loves him as well. He's part of that leadership group. He's a guy you can bring on the pitch late in the game. He's just not going to give it away. He can, you know, if it's a tight game and you're up, I don't mind seeing Ozo out there at all. He's smart.
You can move him around the pitch and have confidence in him regardless of where he's deployed, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just leaning into our conversation that we had last week, and it was Kreger who said, talking about what Sharms was referring to, the lack of scoring, and you don't have a lot of these pieces up front to say, oh, we're so good we can't make room for a Kyle Larin. Like that, I think we're not in that space yet that we can say, as Sharms said, those other players take Kyle out of there. I think he's in there and within like the top three for sure in that conversation. I think he is either the second or the third. I think he's ahead. It might be promise, but I think he's ahead of the other people, the other players.
Well, I mean, it was only a year ago, right, that he was starting for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, which isn't a hell of a long time.
No.
But people are clamoring for Jesse and Canada to move on from Kyle Larin.
I think they're clamoring for clarity so they can start hitting the drums. And I don't mean it like negatively. It's just that everyone's so excited about it that I think they're like, I want to know who this person, like it's kind of like someone just sent us a, all-time Canada list. And it was a TSN photo. And I was looking at it, I was like, and Kreg was in it, and Alfonso Davies was in it, and John David was in it. I think there were like three or four. But it's one of those things where people want to get behind. They want to, like, hey, we know who our team is. We know who we're running with. And I think that's where, I don't know if they want to move on from people. It's more about, hey, I want some clarity. If you're asking me about what the vibe is.
People love new, shiny, prolific goal-scoring machines in the Belgian league. They love that.
Yes.
Yep. And that's what promise is. And I mean... It is the promise that promise delivers, right? Like it really is. And I'm not trying to be, you know, funny there because it's a joke that's been used way too much, but he does provide incredible potential and it's exciting as hell. But can he play Jesse's system? Right. Mm-hmm. That's been the question. And I think he probably can. He's a young guy that can always learn and adapt. He's fit. He's just built like a brick shit house. I mean, my God. I mean, he really is an impressive human being. So I wonder, though, Dubs, I mean, March, the next two matches, there's an important window. There's still some players back from injury who might not be ready. You know, Moyes, obviously, Alistair Johnston, Derek Cornelius, who, you know, he's kind of gone very quiet, right? I mean, that muscle injury keeps continuing and nagging. But those guys you would think are going to be, you know, probably starting when they get back healthy. But outside of that, in a perfect world, do you want to have your team pretty much in your mind who it's going to be by March so you can get some games in and work on some combinations? Or is it okay to still be assessing an internal competition in that window?
I think it's important to still be assessing because of what you just said, because you don't want people resting on their laurels, not that they will, or they'll come in and they'll be complacent. But I think those guys all know, like that's the type of clarity, to Wonger's point, on the inside that Jesse is providing. Like there are, I would say, you know, 3/4 of that roster is determined, even if they don't maybe have it, you know, underlined or like they've been communicated to, like exactly like James Sharman, you're on the roster. Like, I don't know if those conversations have taken place, but guys should know at this point. Like what their role is, what the expectation is of minutes and things like that, and how they're going to navigate the tournament. But it is important that the assessment does continue for those fringe players, that periphery. And we've talked about the like how deep this squad is now. So it's not just the 11 and maybe like 12, 13, like it used to be. Say you look at this team in Qatar, you know, it was a couple of substitutions and then there was a huge drop off in quality and in your standards. And now I would say it's closer to 20 where you have on any given day, given your opponent, little tweaks here and there. We've got the wild card, the addition of a Marcelo Flores, who's in there. Does that push a guy like Oso out? Who knows, you know, but like all of a sudden there's a lot more interesting discussions, and maybe trickier conversations that Jesse Marsh has to have with certain players to say, like, March is going to be a huge window, not only for us, for a progression as we look towards the World Cup, but for you as an individual. So you have to come out and you're going to get this amount of minutes. We play across these two friendlies, and this is what I need from you. And if you don't deliver, then maybe your situation is a little more tenuous than you'd like it to be.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Alphonso Davies looks pretty good right now. You know, he's if not back to his best, he's pretty damn close. Covered the game yesterday, the Bayern Munich game. He was very, very good again. Very lively. Mm-hmm. His top speed, I'm not sure about yesterday. I know last week we did a board on it. It's like 35 point something kilometers per hour, which is behind his fastest, mm-hmm. but it was the second best last weekend, second fastest in the Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. Right.
Sorry, can I go through? Can we go through who's injured still? Just so in my brain, I can wrap my head. Alistair Johnston, will he be? I'm just thinking about March window. Mm-hmm. Alistair Johnston. Oh. Theo Bear, Derek Cornelius,
Moise Bembito.
Is that the four mains?
Are those
the entrees? So. And we're waiting to see what the side dishes are.
Yeah, because Liam Miller's back,
right?
He's playing for Hull City.
Well too.
Yeah.
Although Tiger Sammy's got to let us know. I think he was playing really well. Didn't start this weekend, I don't think, but. Tiger Sammy, right? Yeah. Our Hull correspondent.
Oh.
Let us know. That's it. I think that's it.
Okay.
And for March, so Johnson's going back from hamstring surgery. Who the hell knows? I think he should be back by then. Whether he's ready for it, it's an international call up, I'm not sure.
Hammies are fucked, though. I know, you really don't know, right? No.
And Moyes was going to return, I believe, around March. So it might be too early for him. Obviously, Fonzie's back now. Cornelius, who knows? It was weeks, right? They didn't give it like a definitive time, I don't think. So, yeah, it won't be a full-strength squad again, which is disappointing. Won't be seeing that until the World Cup, that build-up.
Yeah, I mean, that's, what, 6 weeks away. It's end of March, right? So it'll be interesting to see if any of those get back. I mean, going back to Alistair Johnston's hamstring, you know, that he re-injured the same hamstring that he had injured is... That is not a great sign. I think that's what happened, correct? That he hurt it.
Yeah. Then he had the surgery, right?
Yeah, but that's when it scares me that there's surgery on the hamstring. So
now if there's no silver lining to losing Johnston, obviously. But you have a Richie Larea who can play his natural right hand side if he had to. And then Fonzie's back to where he belongs at left back, and there's no debate and conversation about where's Fonzie playing? Is he playing at left back or is he playing further up the pitch? Because Richie's already at right back.
Right.
And you got Nico Seeger as well, who can step in at right back. I mean, that's a position of real depth for Canada. You don't want to lose Johnston, obviously. I think he starts. I think. Although Seeger is obviously one of Jesse Marsh's favorites, but he's playing midfield at Hajduk Split. Never got that move to Scotland in the end. A lot of rumors about Rangers and Celtic vying for his services. Maybe that'll be revisited in the summer. But lots to still debate. But I think Jesse Marsh knows who is starting 11, I think, in his head already, who it's going to be.
Yeah.
But from a goalkeeping standpoint, you're right, Dubs. There's a short window, but a long window, really, to see who's in form. If one of them has a terrible start to the season, then it's pretty straightforward who your call is, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like a bay window.
A bay window, yeah. You see all angles.
Panoramic. Panoramic.
Panoramic, yes. Better than a letterbox.
Correct. Will we get the answers to our...
Yeah.
First, shall we do that? Yeah, we're almost out of time. So let's get to the answers. Okay. Take it away, Wonga.
What year was VAR officially implemented in the Premier League? Charms.
It's so difficult because COVID ruins everything. My whole understanding of time and the concept of time is ruined. And so it was before COVID. So I'm going to say 2000 and it can't be 10 years yet, surely. 2017.
Dubs?
I'm going to go 18.
JC, do you want to throw in?
16.
2019-2020 season.
It was okay. Mm.
You guys were messed up. First Super Bowl.
We weren't that far off.
Wow.
Pretty close, actually.
First Super Bowl. What year?
60 years ago.
Yeah, 26 minus 60. Minus. GC.
I have 1905.
Charms?
It was the 60s, right? Isn't that when Pittsburgh was dominant? 64.
God, no.
I guess it's 6.
There, yeah, wrong. 66. And Dubs?
Let me find my calculator.
Was Pittsburgh the 70s?
Yes.
Trey Bradshaw and Lynn Swan?
Yeah.
Oh, was he? Okay. At least another name.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
2026 minus 60.
I want to say it was 1962.
That's what I said. No,
yeah,
I said
that. It was 1967, but it was the 66 season.
Okay, so
there we go.
Yeah. Come on.
Sharms was throwing in the steel curtain and Pittsburgh, so it was like full different decade.
Still not bad, though. Come on.
Wrote The Shawshank Redemption.
Got this.
Awesome.
Morgan
Wells.
Freeman.
I believe it was Sean Shank.
Actually, no. I think it was Stephen King.
It was Stephen King.
Oh, well done. Bravo.
Okay. Who's saying Call Me Maybe?
Carly Jepsen.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, okay.
Carly Rae Jepsen, in there. Everyone. Good Canadian for you, everyone. And what two politicians were involved in the 2000 election for the hanging chad in Florida?
For the Al Gore?
US election.
George W. Bush.
And?
Al Gore and George W. Bush.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Well,
I had Al Gore and Al Green.
let's stay together. So close. So there you go. First trivia.
All right. Nice. I like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's get that up. How's the push-up challenge going? We had a day off yesterday.
Did 40 yesterday. I mean, this morning. I got to do more. Yeah.
I'm 25 in today so far.
I'm shit the bed because I've been so sick.
Yeah, but you can catch up.
Oh, I'll catch up.
But that could be like 400 a day.
That's what I usually do.
Yeah, I used yesterday as a catch up because I wasn't able. The kids had hockey and I was out all day on Saturday. But yeah, I'm all cut up.
I tried on Saturday. I needed a day of rest, as Sharms was referring to, because I did 91 my first day. My pectorals were broken. And so I got down on the ground. I couldn't do a push-up. Till yesterday at around, I went down. I went, this isn't going to be good. I only could do 25 yesterday. So this morning I got up and I did 25 already. So it's finally loosened up. But yeah, it was not a good start. I was a little enthusiastic.
Our team, who includes obviously the four of us, the other two members have not signed up, which is very disappointing.
To nobody's surprise, though.
No surprise.
Honestly.
Darren, Dan, Tony. Justin, Jordan, Terrence, Jeff. That's you, Jeff, actually. Corey, Costa, Jeff. And Michael. Costa, you're still on zero. Come on, man. Step it up.
There's time to catch up.
Maybe he is. He's just not technologically inclined and he doesn't know how to use the app.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Perhaps. Even Justin. I think Justin may have been a late sign up, but he's on 20. He's got to step it up as well. Leading the charge so far is Darren with 278.
Good for him.
Second place, this guy.
All right.
Anyway, keep it up and keep raising funds. We're at $525. We want to reach $1,000. So speak to people, you know, family and friends.
Right.
Every bit counts, okay?
That's my late call out is family and friends.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always like, come on.
Like, okay. Whenever it is.
Yeah.
Make sure you like and subscribe to this. Retweet everything. Check out our YouTube channel. Anything else I should be mentioning there?
It's one of the best bits of fun you'll ever
Lucky Likey.
Lucky Likey.
Look for Lucky Likey.
All right.
Lucky Surprise. Sean Dyche.
This is the biggest surprise in Gaga.
No, but the little ones are the best balls. The best Lucky Likey I've ever had. Did you look for Lucky Likey?
There we go.
Oh, it's not a bad bunny. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's JC, it's well striking. Done.
It is striking. Yeah. Well, more of a midfielder, really.
I think it's the mouth, right?
Yeah, bad bunny. Or if they had the same hairdo, it would be right on.
Yeah. No, that's not bad, though. Ozo, you look like Bad Bunny. Or should I say Bad Bunny? You look like Jonathan Osorio. Yeah. Good one. All right. That was our looky likey. First one for a while.
Yeah.
Send in suggestions, please. And we'll get them whipped together and throw them up literally on the screen.
Looky likey brought to you by insert sponsorship here.
Yes. Okay. That's it for another day, another Monday. Hope you enjoyed that. We are back at some point this week, probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and work some guests in this week. Jimmy's away on vacay.
During the show, Jimmy reached out. He reached out as we were recording, saying, "Have a great week." He's going to try to jump on one of these mornings.
There's no chance.
No, he's not.
There's absolutely no chance Jimmy jumps on.
Zero chance.
I hope he does.
My God.
If we had a betting company that was our sponsor, we could lay down bets on that.
We could.
Yeah.
There's more chance of Craig joining us, and there's very little chance of that happening as well.
And Craig's on holiday. They're both, I think, in way different places, correct? One Dominican and one California or something like that. So
Yeah.
I can't believe we talked about VAR. We didn't talk about Szoboszlai and Holland.
Tomorrow. I'm going to run out of time. We could, if you want to add
that
it
now. That was mental, right?
Okay, let's do 2 minutes on that quickly.
Okay.
End of the Liverpool game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
walk me through it. I saw walk me through it only because I saw, excuse me, the Fubo highlights, and it didn't show like all of the stuff around what happened.
Okay, so Allison's like, up. Yeah, go ahead, Sean. Yes.
No, I was gonna say, Job is like tugs off Haaland.
Huh?
That was after the game.
That's after the game. Dubs, you take
you're it. Not, you're not supposed to know that. What camera are you looking at, Charles?
So Allison had hauled down. Did you see I forget who it was.
Yes, I saw just Allison, yes.
For a guy who's so reliable, so consistent for Liverpool, it was just a moment of madness almost. Like, doesn't touch the ball, concedes the pen. Mm-hmm. He'd saved Haaland, right? Earlier this season or like in their past. And Haaland usually goes left footer to the low right. And he went left, opened his foot up and went low left. Mm-hmm. So scores to give them the lead. And then Allison is up and he like falls down when he's like near the halfway stripe and like just looked a little bit kind of nervy. So he's up in the penalty box and they're trying to get the equalizer. They're able to, I think it was Chiesa wins a corner. And then they're able to spring going the other way, Man City. And then like this anemic kick, I think it was from Turkey. And it's just like trickling. And then you see Haaland, like a man possessed, and we know how fast he is, beating Szoboszlai. So he's in the clear. He's got maybe two steps on him. Szoboszlai is able to close the gap enough to haul him back. And he stays on his feet. The ball is just rolling really, really slowly towards the goal line. And then Haaland pulls Szoboszlai back. They both fall down and the ball just goes over the line. So you think that's 3-1 and that's it's good. And the referee had allowed it to play on, which I think was the right call. So it's 3-1 Man City at that point. And then the VAR room was actually reviewing a foul, I think, on Salah. That in like the corner kick that I alluded to previously that Allison was up for. That's why there was nobody in net. So then they have to switch gears and then they're reviewing the play. And now Szoboszlai, who's been so integral to Liverpool filling in at the right back position because they have so many injuries, will have a one match ban because they didn't allow it. Like the referee made the right call, I think, to play it on. But then because Szoboszlai is like denial of a goal scoring opportunity, on Haaland, he gets a red card, but the goal doesn't count. And so then City is denied another goal, which maybe down the line, now that they've closed the gap at the top with Arsenal, might factor in. So like VAR, again, cocks it all up, in my estimation.
So what was the correct call for you?
It was just let it stand.
Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. And it would have, pre-VAR, that would have been the case, I think.
Yeah.
So 50-50, okay, you did this, he did that, goal scored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because really the decision is, so Szoboszlai pulls Holland back. He keeps his feet, but then Holland pulls Szoboszlai back after the fact. So it's really that second action that is the justification. Yeah, for VAR to call it back.
Yeah, so that play, because advantage is played, that play is essentially dead. That's what they're arguing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a real tough one.
So 6 years of VAR, and I woke up to The Athletic. I forget who the writer talking about. VAR needs to be disbanded and taken out.
We don't need it. We just don't need it. I'd much rather have my hate towards referees than a room with a few referees and a few TV screens, right? Just do that. Human error is sadly is part of the game, and whether you're playing a Sunday league game with your mates or you're playing in the Champions League final, it should really be the same game, even though it's not, obviously, from a technical standpoint. But they're just trying, overthinking, trying too hard. Just because we have technology doesn't mean we should use technology.
Yeah, and they can't get out of their own way.
They can't.
No.
They can't. But anyway, let's hope that goal does cost a Man City. It'd be really funny.
Yeah, let's hope. But Szoboszlai's free kick, like just a masterclass by him so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
Like that was, anyway, you know, the way that Ronaldo hits free kicks, you know, like the knucklers, like dead center, like that's what it was. Donnarumma didn't even move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It was fantastic. It really was. Mm-hmm. We'll talk some more Prem this week, actually. Let's do that, shall we? We haven't touched on it too much recently. Been so much other stuff going on.
Well, plus Liverpool's not doing well, so you two who...
That is not true at all, by the way. Prick.
But it was disappointing to give that away.
Yeah. All right. Let's try this again, shall we? That was Footy Prime. Have a great weekend. A great day.
How are you doing on push-ups?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see if our boys have started push-ups since last week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no. All right. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
You guys, I can't believe we didn't... No, just kidding.
Arsenal won. You know something about Arsenal?
No, not talking about Arsenal.
Villa drew. United won again.
Oh, that's what I was trying to... Well, we can talk about it because
I'll continue.
I'm caring.
Okay. Is the guy with the haircut, though. Tomorrow.
Always not. Right.
Show him. I saved him.